Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Do you want God to be actively involved in your life? We need to understand that that just doesn't happen naturally. It happens supernaturally. And what do I mean by that? We have to take hold of biblical principles and demonstrate them and do so for the right reasons. And that will serve as an invitation to God to come and act mightily in the circumstances of our life. But again, godly activity in our life just doesn't happen. We need to behave in a way and speak in a way that motivates him to respond to our circumstances. Take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Psalms and Psalm 119. The book of Psalms and Psalm 119. We're now ready for the letter Resh. And in this section, we're going to see that the psalmist confesses things, and these things that he confesses motivate God, and he has an expectation that God will be motivated to respond to the circumstances of his life. And there's a very important word. Now, this word is a verbal form for the word life, and it can be translated to sustain or renew a person's life. And God desires to do just that for all of his covenant people, to sustain us, to rejuvenate us, to renew us. But there's a condition. He will do so, but we need to ask him for the right reasons. And we find what those right reasons are in this passage of Scripture. So with that said, take out your Bible and look with me to Psalm 119, and we're going to begin with verse 153. Psalm 119 and verse 153. It begins with the word ra'eh, which means to look or to see. And specifically here he says, see my affliction. So the first thing that we can say about this section of Scripture from Psalm 119 is this. The author is relating to him that he is suffering, that he is in the midst of affliction, that he is going through a difficult experience in his life. And he says to God, look or see my affliction. And then we could translate this next word, for deliver me or rescue me. Now, the word is unique because this word for deliverance is not the normal word. This is a word where, in the noun form, it's a word that relates to stress or anxiety or pressure. In other words, he wants God to move in his circumstances so that there can be a release, that he can be set free of these things that cause him anxiety, pressure, grief, and such. And by the way, this word for being set free is derived from the same Hebrew word which speaks about removing a cork from a bottle. So we have that release. When you take out that cork, oftentimes it makes a noise, and that noise is based upon the pressure that was in that bottle being released. And that's what he's asking for. So we could translate it, look at my affliction. Take notice of my suffering and set me free, release me from this. And remember what we talked about? And that is that we should speak and behave in a way that motivates God to act in our life. Notice what he says. For your law I have not forgotten. Now, many times when we look at translations, they will change or flip the order of words. We ought not do that. So it says literally, for your Torah I have not forgotten. What's the implication of this? Well, the Torah represents the commandments of God. And what he's saying is this, even in the midst of this affliction, this pressure, this stress, this anxiety, I have not forgotten your law, meaning I am still committed to your commandments. This oppression and hardship that I'm going through has not caused me to change my commitment to you. Look now at verse 154, where he says, contend or plead. Now, again, this is a word that is rooted in contending or battling or literally fighting for someone or some cause. And so we could translate this simply, plea my cause or contend for my cause. And do what? And he says, and redeem me. Now, this also has some significant implications because redemption involves a new identity, but also a new location. What he's saying, when someone says, I want to experience God's redemption, what they're saying is this, I want to become God's purchased possession. I want to be with him. I want to experience him. And I realize that now I've been bought with a price, and that comes with some obligation. And we have a joyful response to the obligations that we have towards God. We desire to serve him. We desire to be faithful to him. We desire to be committed to his purposes. So he says, plead my cause and redeem me. Why? Well, we have for the sake of. Now, it's just one letter, but in this construction, we should think of it as redeem me for the sake of your word. Restore or sustain or renew me. So he wants God to work in his life to bring about a renewal, a recitation of his situation, meaning that he comes to life. That's that key word. And by the way, we're going to see that this word is going to appear in these 8 verses that we're studying in this section. It's going to appear, that word, 3 times. So he says, basically, for the sake of your word, this means he desires to obey God. He desires to submit to God. And notice there's a connection between your law that he mentions earlier and now your word, which he mentions now. He wants life in order to carry out the word of God. This is faith. This is how we should approach God. And when we are sincere in that, it will motivate God to act in our circumstances, to get intimately involved in our life. Look now to verse 155, where he says, far away are wicked ones from what? Salvation. So those who are wicked, that wickedness, that mindset, that corrupt lifestyle, that sin in their life, that wickedness positions them far away from salvation. But when we are committed to the character of God, the purposes of God, the will of God, that's going to bring us close to salvation. And here again, we need to understand that salvation is a word of victory. For many people, that is a foreign concept. But salvation is not just forgiveness of sins. Salvation is not just entering into the kingdom of God. Salvation is not just being reconciled to God, but salvation is God sharing victory with his people, that we are going to be triumphant. Now, how can we think of that? that we are going to be overcomers. So important that we see salvation in this call to overcome, to persevere, and endure. So he says, far are the wicked ones, and the implication is from salvation. For your statutes, they do not seek. And this word for seek, it's the word lidrosh. And lidrosh means to seek, but it's a word that's more intense than the word levakesh. So we have two primary words for seeking something, and this is a word of desire, wanting something. You seek that which you want. And he uses the stronger of the two, not levakesh, but lidrosh. And it says that these ones who are wicked, it says, for your statutes, they do not seek, they do not desire, they are not inquiring of you. They have no desire for the laws, the statutes of God. But notice what he says about himself. Look now to verse 156. He says, your mercy. And again, we cannot overestimate the importance of being a recipient of the mercy of God. One of the ways, and there's a prayer in Judaism, this prayer is frequently recited at a funeral, but the name of the prayer is El Mele Rachamim, which means the God who is full of mercy. And we see something here when it says speak full of mercy, when it speaks of that being God being full of mercy, notice here it says your mercy. And then we have the phrase Rabim, which means are many. So the mercy of God, your mercy, O Lord, are many. God desires to give to us abundant mercy. And then he says, according to your judgments. Now, notice, what is the relation here between judgments and mercy? Well, again, we need to understand this word judgment in two potential definitions. Now, one is judgment. That's usually when we think of judgment, we think of like a punishment, a discipline. And what God is saying is this, he is abundant in mercy because of his judgment. So what the psalmist may be saying is, God, I recognize that your mercy is abundant and it's just right. It's according to your judgment. You're going to give me enough mercy in order that I can stand in the day of judgment, that I can, as we talked about earlier, experience victory, that I can be triumphant in that day. Now, there's another aspect of this, and this has to do with a benefit of mercy. If you study mercy in the Bible, you will find that when we receive mercy, it is going to also impact our perspective. We are going to see things differently. We are going to see things from God's point of view. So mercy does impact just not the punishment of God, the judgment of God, but mercy also gives us a different way of seeing things, understanding things. Now, one of the applications of this word judgment is God's evaluation. So it's saying here that, God, your mercy is abundant, and it is going to give me the ability to see things how you do from your evaluation. And then he says, look at this, according to your judgments. He says, again, that second time that word appears, this word chayeni, which means sustain me, renew me, rejuvenate me, give me life, in other words. So he wants life. Why? Because through the mercy of God, he sees things differently. He wants life and God to sustain him. Why? Because now he's able to, as a recipient of God's mercy, to make decisions that are in light with God's will, God's perspective, God's evaluating things. And secondly, he has a new life. Why? Because he's going to be triumphant in the day of God's judgment. He's not going to be destroyed. Verse 157. Now, even though that he has this commitment to serve God, to be faithful to God, to accomplish the purposes of God, notice that is going to make him a target for the enemy. And that's why he says that same word that is used about abundant mercies. Notice that it says abundant or many. Many are my persecutors and my enemies. Now, this word for enemy is a word that's related to trouble and or tribulation. So he says, many are those who are persecuting me and those who are troubling me, those who are placing upon me tribulation. And what does he say? But from your testimonies, I have not turned. Now, what do we see here? We see a man who is committed to manifesting God's character. That word testimony is a word that relates specifically to the character of God and God behaving in a way and manifesting how he would behave through what? Well, there's an inherent connection between the testimonies of God and the commandments of God. When we, and understand this, when we apply God's commandments to our life, being led by the Holy Spirit, what's going to be the outcome of that? We are going to manifest the character of God. We're going to have a God-pleasing testimony. Why is it going to please him? Because what we're doing is going to be like living as he would. So this is what we're called to do. So this word of commitment where he says, from your testimonies, I have not turned. Verse 158, he says, I have seen, and this next word, bogdim. Bogdim are those who are traitors, those who are disloyal. And specifically here, we're going to see something that they have betrayed. That same word, bogdim, they are betrayers. And what have they betrayed? Well, they have betrayed God. And how have they betrayed God? Excuse me, by not adhering to his word, not walking in a way that manifests his character, his testimonies, not being committed to the commandments of God. So he says here, I have seen these disloyal, these betrayers, these traitors. And he says, what happens? He says, and they're brawling. What he means here is that when we are not faithful, when we betray the instructions of God, it is going to bring conflict into our life. And it says, and the brawling and their conflict, which it says, your word, they have not kept. They have not guarded. And this is a word for guarding or keeping. It's a word of observance. And he says, your word, they have not kept, meaning they have not valued. Now let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves a question. And that is, do we really value the statutes of God, the ordinances of God, the precepts of God, the testimonies of God, the commandments of God, the law of God? Do we value these things? Do we understand that they are the means for a believer, and I want you to hear that, for a believer, the commandments of God are the key when we apply them, here again, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, when we apply the commandments to our life, we through them can manifest God in our life, a godly character, a godly recognition of authority, his authority over us. And that's what we're called to do. But these individuals that are betrayers of the things of God, these individuals, what's the problem with them? They betray God by not doing his word, not being committed, and they find themselves in conflict. Look now to verse 159. He says, I have seen that your commands, and this is a different word. This is a word that speaks, and we've mentioned it several times in our study of this psalm, oral instructions, oral orders, we might say. I've made mention several times about a superior, like a higher-ranking officer, commanding one who is subordinate to him. And this is this order. And he says, see, your orders, your commands, I have loved. And again, I wonder if that describes you. Can you say as he has? I have seen, literally it says, see, I have loved your instructions, your orders to me. Not just I have done them, I have recognized them, I have fulfilled them. No, he says, I have loved. And this is a word that reveals that he has taken these instructions, these orders, these commands of God, and that he has carried them out, and he's done so in love. Now, this goes back to when Messiah says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. See, obedience to God manifests our love for him. And this is an important takeaway. Our obedience to the word of God manifests our love for him. Now, when you are in a marriage, there's certain things that you can do, and some would say this is a love language. What it means is this. When you do certain things, your spouse understands that you are demonstrating love for them. See, you can say, and I'll just make it personal about my marriage, I can say to Rivka, I love you. And she appreciates that. She knows I'm sincere. But when I do certain things, usually odd jobs around the house, when I do certain things for her, this communicates in a more powerful way than words that I love her. And I see the changes that she has in her thoughts for me because I have done these things. And this is what this is communicating. He says, see, for your orders, your commands, I have loved. O Lord, according to your grace. What does he say? That same word, the third time. Sustain me, rejuvenate me, renew me, make me alive. That's what he's saying. Give me life so that I can behave in accordance with your orders, your commands, because I have what? He says here, according to your grace. Grace, the grace of God, works not only a salvation experience, but the grace of God also brings me into obedience to the will of God, the orders of God, the instructions of God. One more verse and we'll be done. Verse 160. He says, the top of your word is truth. Now, what he's saying is this. We could maybe just paraphrase it a little bit. And that is, the summary of your word, O God, is truth. The foundation of the word of God, God's word, is truth. And we need to see that. And truth is powerful. Falsehood brings destruction. Falsehood brings deception. But it's the truth of God that we find in his word. And he says here, forever are your righteous judgment. I realize many put that in the plural, but literally it's in the singular. And he says, forever are all your righteous judgment. So God, he, and this word forever is a kingdom word. And what it teaches us is this. When we make decisions in our life that are in accordance with God's judgment, we are going to be making righteous judgments, and that is going to show others our connection to the kingdom. Now, I mention the kingdom here because of this word, leolam, forever, eternal, everlasting. We need to wrap our minds around the fact that that word is an adjective that best describes the kingdom of God. So it's rooted in the word olam, which is world. But it's not speaking about this world, but the coming world, the kingdom of God. And we're going to find that in that coming kingdom, that God's judgment is going to be dominant and God's judgment is going to manifest his righteousness. So what we see is this, that we should want God to work in our life and sustain us and cause us to be spiritually renewed. Why? So that we can do his testimonies, that we can take his orders, apply them to our life, again, being led by the Holy Spirit, in order that we manifest what we just talked about. We manifest righteousness. Because when we manifest righteousness, we're in God's will, we're in God's character, we're under God's anointing, and good things are going to happen. When we behave righteously, God is going to jump into our life, our circumstances, our situations. So if God's not active in your life, maybe it's because you're not committed to the things that you ought to be committed to. Yes, this one, he had affliction, he had hardship, he had those who were placing tribulation on him, those who were persecuting him, but he understood God gives life. God is the one that helps me overcome the things of this world so that I can carry out the purposes of God and have a testimony, a witness that is pleasing to him. That is the call for every believer. Well, I'll close with that until next time. May God richly bless you. Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.